Hello, church. Welcome to you worshiping on all of our different streaming platforms. Hello to those of you on Facebook Live, on YouTube, on Instagram, and also on cpcdanville.org. Thousands of people right through that camera, and even though this room is empty, feels so good to know that you're right on the other side of that camera. Welcome to week two of Sheltering in Place. Can you believe we're going to be in place for another 5 or 6 weeks? Probably we just heard from the local schools that May 4th is the earliest possible day that our kids will be back in our schools. So let's start this message with an observation that I'll put on the screens. Here's the observation. Coronavirus has given us a new reality. It's given us a new reality. And new reality means we need new recipes to deal and to make it through and thrive in this new reality. All of us are trying new recipes, and it's not just we're going to different local takeout restaurants, because I know we're for the Valley, and I know we want to support our local businesses, but many of us are trying new recipes actually in the home. I know us and many of you are probably cooking way more than you normally do. I'll give you a picture of a new recipe that my son Cole tried this week. He made turkey meat tacos, and they were absolutely delicious. He delivered those out to my office at my house while I was on a Zoom call. Speaking of Zoom calls, here's another new recipe many of you are trying. You're doing your meetings via Zoom. I had about 20 of them via Zoom. Here's a picture of our session. That's our board of elders here at CPC. We met on Tuesday night. This is a picture I took while we were praying for you and our church, our valley, and our world. And many of you are probably doing similar types of meetings on Zoom. What about your kids' schedules? You're trying new recipes for those as well. Here's a picture of our schedule. You probably all, if you have young kids, have a schedule like this up in or around your house. Perhaps it's more color-coded. I can tell you that perfectly balanced schedule of studying and online learning and exercise and Bible study reading, even though that's a schedule that is hanging in our house, we have not had one day where we actually followed that schedule, and perhaps you can relate to that. Some of you are trying new recipes as a homeschool teacher. It's a second career that you didn't know you would get up until a couple of weeks ago, and you never really wanted it, yet here you are. Some of you are trying new recipes as you're working from home, and it's very different to work from home when everybody is in the home rather than you're alone at the home. New recipes for social distancing without feeling socially isolated. Some of us are trying that. New recipes for financial planning to ride out and be able to rebound and to rebuild after this thing passes. Recipes to stay positive in this difficult season. Maybe it's less news and more music for you. Maybe it's less social media and more steps around the neighborhood. Some of us and some of you, and I'll include myself in this, myself included, if we're honest, we are struggling. I am struggling, just like you are, in this time, in this new reality, trying these new recipes. I came across an article in the Harvard Business Review this week, and it named a primary source of our struggle in this time. And here it is. It's grief. It's grief. It's the loss of things like certainty and control and normal and security. For instance, perhaps you're the parents of a fifth grader or an eighth grader or a high school senior or a college senior, or perhaps you are a fifth grader or an eighth grader or a high school senior or a college senior, and you're grieving the loss or the potential loss of some big moments. It could be outdoor ed, it could be prom, it could be graduation or grad night and all the festivities therein. David Kessler is the world's foremost expert on grief. He co-wrote the book On Grief and Grieving, and he also founded the website grief.com. It receives over 5 million visits a year from 167 different countries. And in this Harvard Business Review article that I read, David Kessler tries to answer this question: what can we do to manage all of this grief that we're feeling? And here's what he says. Understanding the stages of grief is a start, But when we talk about the stages of grief, we must remember that the stages aren't linear and may not happen in this order. It's not a map, but it provides some scaffolding for this unknown world. There's denial, which says a lot of early on, this virus won't affect us. There's anger, you're making me stay home and taking away my activities. There's bargaining, okay, if I social distance for 2 weeks, everything will be better, right? There's sadness, I don't know when this will end. And finally, there's acceptance. This is happening, I have to figure out how to proceed. That last line is very, very important. We have to figure out how to proceed. In other words, we need a new recipe for how to proceed. Before we talk about recipes anymore, even though you probably know what a recipe is, I want to give a working definition of a recipe. A recipe is a set of guidelines to make something good. A set of guidelines to make something good. What if I told you that Jesus offers us a recipe, a set of guidelines? He says, if you do this, and it is something you can control, in a time where many things right now feel out of our control, Jesus says, you can control this. You can control this recipe. If you do these things, you will get two things that I know you really want. For instance, number one, you will bear fruit. And number two, you will be joyful. Regardless of circumstance, regardless of situation, you'll bear fruit and be joyful. So if your kids are at school or they're homeschooled, whichever, whether they're going to work or you're working from home, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, whether it's a bull market or a bear market, whether you're living in times of plenty or times of need, here's the good news. Jesus makes the offer. Jesus extends the offer of a recipe, and it's the last of his I am statements in the Gospel of John. It's in John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, and here's what he says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Abide in me as I also abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not abide in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. That's God's word. And as you saw in that passage, that's 11 verses, you saw one word repeated over and over and over and over again. And what is that word? You can say it aloud right at home where you're sitting. Abide. It's the word abide. Abide comes from the Greek word meno. Meno. It means to remain in, to spend time with, to walk with, to dwell in. That's what abide means. And Jesus says in the Greek, it's actually 11 times in 11 verses. In the English, it's 10 times in 11 verses. Abide, 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 abide. Abide, 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 abide. Abide. That's his recipe. That's his guideline, and it gives us our big idea for this message. Here it is simply, abide in Jesus, and you will bear fruit and be joyful. That's the big idea. Abide in Jesus, and you will bear fruit and be joyful. That's the recipe. That's the invitation. You can call it a recipe or an invitation or a command. Regardless of what you call it, it comes packed with a promise. You abide in me, you will bear fruit, and you will be joyful. Now, before we get any further, I think we should pause and define some terms. Specifically, let's define the term bear fruit. Because that's like, you could think that's a churchy word. That's a Bible phrase. What does bear fruit mean? Well, believe it or not, it's very personal and very practical. What Jesus is saying is, if you abide in me, these are examples of bearing fruit, you'll be a more loving husband and father. If you abide in me, you'll be a more patient wife and mother. If you abide in me, you'll be a more faithful follower of Christ. If you abide in me, Jesus says, you'll be a more purposeful employee. If you abide in me, you'll have more peace in your heart. If you abide in me, you'll be more kind when you talk to your kids. If you abide in me, you'll be more gentle in your tone with your spouse. If you abide in me, you'll be more forgiving with your friends. If you abide in me, you'll have more self-control over things like your appetites and your addictions and your attitude. That's the big idea. Abide in Jesus and you will bear fruit. And all those things I just listed are practical examples that will lead to you being more joyful. All of them. Abide in Jesus and you will bear fruit and be joyful. Now that big idea begs a simple one-word question that I'm going to dedicate the rest of our time today to. And the simple question is, how? How? How do we abide in Jesus? And sometimes the best way to learn is a simple acrostic. So we're going to make an acrostic out of the word abide. And the A in abide, if you're a note taker, this might even be easy enough for you to remember these words that make up the word abide. The A stands for attach. Attach yourself to Jesus. There's a great scripture in Philippians chapter 3. It's at verse 12. It says this. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. I haven't arrived, but here's what I do. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That's what it means to attach, to take hold of Jesus, to attach yourself to Jesus. Now, I want to give you an actual picture of this. I was thinking, what would be a good picture of something that you take hold of? I was thinking of the idea of wakeboarding or water skiing. When my youngest son, Cole, was about 6 years old, this was a few years ago, he learned how to wakeboard when he got in the water and his older brother, Trevor, got in and was like wading in the water with him. He said, Cole, okay, just tuck down and all you have to think about is just take hold of that handle. You just hold on to the handle and all you have to do, if you hold on to that handle, the boat will do all the work. The boat will pull you up. Don't try to take control. Don't try to fight the boat. Let the boat do the work. Your job is to take hold, to hold on. That's what it means to attach yourself to Jesus. And the boat does all the work. In this case, Jesus does all the work of bearing fruit. He says it this way, I am the true vine. You are the branches. So what we do is we attach ourselves to him. Now, we all know what it's like to attach ourselves to things or to people or to stuff. And sometimes we attach ourselves to the right things, the right people, the right stuff. Other times we attach ourselves to the wrong things, the wrong people, the wrong stuff. What's happening right now in times like this is it's showing us or reminding us that not everything we attach ourselves to holds up. And not everything we attach ourselves to holds us up. For instance, sometimes our business doesn't hold us up. Sometimes stocks don't hold up. Sometimes people don't hold up. Substances won't hold us up, like alcohol. Kids' sports won't hold us up. Achievements won't hold us up. Sometimes we attach ourselves to the wrong stuff. The author of Hebrews writes about something like what's happening right now. He says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27, all of creation will be shaken so that only the unshakable things will remain. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm unshakable. You can attach yourself to me. Hebrews chapter 10 at verse 23 says it this way, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. The A in abide stands for attach. Attach yourself to Jesus. The B stands for bring. Bring your burdens to Jesus. Bring your burdens to Jesus. All of us have experienced some degree of loss in the last few weeks. It's a fact. all of us are bearing new burdens. The burden of kids at home, the financial burdens, emotional burdens, work burdens. All of us are dealing with some degree of grief. So on that subject, back to David Kessler. He says this: "We're all feeling a number of different griefs. We feel the world has changed, and it has. We know this is temporary, but it doesn't feel that way, and we realize things will be different. Just as going to the airport is forever different from how it was before 9/11, things will change, and this is the point at which they changed. The loss of normalcy, the fear of economic toll, the loss of connection. This is hitting us, and we're grieving. Collectively, we're not used to this kind of collective grief in the air." What does Jesus say we should do in response to this grief? He says, "Bring your burdens to me. Abide in me." Here's what he says in Matthew chapter 11 at verse 28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Are you grieving today? Are you burdened? Jesus says, "Abide in me. Bring your burdens to me." The A is for attach. Attach yourself to Jesus. The B is bring. Bring your burdens to Jesus. The I is invest. Invest your time with Jesus. If there's one thing we have a little more of right now, it's time. And we have said, you've heard it said, that time is our most precious commodity. We're on a season of basically forced rest, and we're going to be there for at least another 5 or 6 weeks. We have time. So with that in mind, let me give you a life principle about time. It's not a biblical principle. It's a life principle about time. Here it is. There's no substitute for time in a relationship. There's no substitute for time in a relationship. Now, you know this in relationships like marriage. There's no substitute for time. That's why you're still dating if you're a husband and a wife, because you're doing the things that got you married in the first place. You know this in the area of friendship. You probably have friends who, no matter how much time goes by since when you last saw them or spoke with them, because you've invested so much time in the relationship and there's no substitute for time in the relationship, whenever you see them or talk to them, you pick right up. It's like you never left. I've seen some of you are having Zoom calls with some of those friends, high school friends, college friends, friends from the past. Some of you might take annual trips. I do that with friends where, gosh, there's no substitute for time in a relationship. I just want to take a moment and speak into this idea of the time that we have right now, relatively uniquely, with our kids. Many of you are parents and have your kids at home for the first time really ever in this environment. Let me talk to you about your kids. We think as parents that what our kids want the most is quality time. So we try to make all time, every day, quality time. But what our kids yearn for in their hearts is not quality time as much as quantity time. They want as much time with us together as they can. Well, guess what? We're giving them that this right now. And so to all of you parents who are feeling right now, you're a little bit uncomfortable because we're in a unique season over the last couple of weeks, and we're wrestling with this idea. Are we making each day, each learning environment, each exercise, each everything, are we making it quality enough? Relax. Breathe. Stop trying to perform and produce as a parent, because you are receiving, you're experiencing the gift, and so are your kids, of quality time. One of the reasons we're so uncomfortable right now is we're used to performing and producing. We're used to doing and not being. And this is an opportunity to just be with our kids. And listen to me. They're loving it. when they look back on this time in their life, they're not going to remember whether or not they were more productive on that work day or that work day, or spent too much time doing this or not enough time doing this. They're just going to go, oh my gosh, the world stopped and school stopped and we were at home and our parents were at home. Mom and dad were both there the entire time and mom was making me do all this stuff. We had to do all these chores. Even though I'm complaining now, they'll love it later. And then when dad was making us exercise in the backyard every day and we were staying 6 feet away from everybody, it was crazy. But they love it because they love quality time with their parents. So just relax and breathe. You're doing fine. They love as much time with you as possible. And here's what's cool. Jesus feels the exact same way. That's why part of abiding is investing your time with Jesus. The number one habit you could do for your life, regardless of age or life stage, is to invest time in Jesus reading his word. That's the way to get to know him. Invest time with Jesus reading his word. You want to bear fruit as a spouse or a parent or an employee or a boss or a leader or as a sibling or a follower of Christ or a friend? Spend time, invest your time with Jesus. You want to be more joyful regardless of circumstance? It's a great passage in the beginning of the Psalm, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, where it says, if you delight yourself in the law of the Lord, if you spend time, invest time reading God's word, it says, regardless of the season, because it's like you're a tree who's putting its roots into the living water of God, of his word, regardless of season, highs or lows, and this is a low, let's be honest, regardless of seasons, your leaves will be evergreen. That's a picture of you. You'll be joyful. You'll be bearing fruit regardless of season. You might be sitting here going like, I would love to do that. But I don't know if I trust God enough with my time. So let me give you a simple equation for trust, okay? You could write this down even. Trust equals truth plus time. Think about that in your friendships. Think about that in your dating relationships, your romantic relationships. Trust equals truth plus time. You grow in trust as someone tells the truth over a long period of time. So if you want to grow in trust with God, spend more time reading the truth of his word, and you will grow in trust. Trust is truth plus time. So my suggestion for you is even 10 minutes a day, undistracted, free of distractions, leave the kids if your other parent is around, if you have one, or put the cell phone away. 10 minutes a day of undistracted time in God's word would be amazing. I love Psalm 119, 105. It says this, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Invest your time with Jesus. Read his word. The A is attach. Attach yourself to Jesus. The B is bring. Bring your burdens to Jesus. The I is invest. Invest your time with Jesus. The D is decide. Decide to follow Jesus. Decide to follow Jesus. One of my favorite verses in this passage is verse 9. John chapter 15. At verse 9, it says this, as the Father has loved me, Jesus says, so have I loved you. Now abide in my love. Abide in my love. What an amazing invitation or command or whatever you want. What an amazing opportunity to abide in the love of God. Do you have any idea how much God loves you? Do you? Do we have any idea how incredible this invitation or command actually is to abide in God's love for us? Now, I realize that right now, streaming on 4 platforms and just based on the last couple weeks, that there's probably about 5,000 people that are going to watch this. 5,000 people. And many people who are watching are not yet Christians. You've not yet decided to trust Jesus and respond to the simple message of the gospel. Gospel means good news. So there's good news. Let me just explain the gospel message or the good news to you if you have not decided yet to trust God with your life. God loves you and has a plan and a purpose for your life. He does. He loves you. But you, just like me, all people, really, we have sinned. We're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. And you know that probably. You know you're not perfect. We've sinned. And so we've created a distance between a perfect God and an imperfect people. So we can't bridge that gap on our own. But God, in his grace and mercy, gives us the gift of his son. That's Jesus. And Jesus comes, and when he dies on the cross, that sacrificial death, what he does is he bridges that gap between a holy, perfect God and an imperfect, unholy people. And that includes you, and that includes me. But Jesus dies as a sacrifice for our sins. So here's the amazing part. Because he did that, if we sin, it's not performance on our part. It's not earning approval on our part. And I thought for a long time, I was raised loosely Catholic. It was based on my performance, what I did. But when I realized, no, it's the grace, which means unmerited favor. It's the mercy. It's the love of God offered in the sacrifice of his son. And what I'm called to do, what you're called to do, is to decide to trust Jesus. That's it. Romans 4:5 says, for the one who does not work for it, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Faith is belief. Faith is trust. So if you trust Jesus to forgive your sins and you trust him by faith to have a relationship with God, you'll be saved. That's the good news of the gospel. So at one point in our lives, what God's hope is that we would make a decision to respond to that gospel, that we would say yes to believing in him for the forgiveness of sins and an eternal relationship with God. Now, I also remember with thousands of people watching that many of you, many of us are Christians. We've already made that decision to trust God and to follow him. So for you, what I was thinking of is to remind you that deciding to follow Jesus is not a one-time event. It's a daily decision. You might go, what is a daily decision to follow Jesus? What does that really look like? Well, let me frame it this way. Let me ask you a question about you this last week. You just think about it for you. How was your attitude and your performance as a worker, as a parent? How was your attitude and your performance in the last week? How were you? I'll tell you, I was horrible. My attitude over the last week was horrible. And let me explain why. This last Monday, I took my first day off in a couple of weeks. Since all this started, it was kind of crazy, and I was running on fumes a little bit. So I said, I'm going to take Monday off after last weekend. And I just was splashed and playing with my boys. We were playing basketball in our backyard, and I was chasing down a loose ball, playing with my three boys, and I jumped over something, and I landed and completely wrenched, and I broke, or at least badly sprained, my ankle. I broke my right ankle. I mean, I just took a picture of it this morning. Here's what it looks like. It's pretty nasty. So I've been limping around, and you might have noticed that I've been limping up here during this message all week. I've been on crutches. So my attitude has been horrible. I'm dealing with the pressure that I should be abiding, and I'm preaching a message on the fruit that comes from abiding in Jesus, and I'm struggling to abide. I'm struggling to decide to follow Jesus in that moment, in that day. And I know I got to preach about it. And I'm just, instead of abiding, I'm pouting and I'm complaining. And I'm thinking of all this under the context of prayer requests that are coming in for things that are far bigger and more important than my silly little ankle. Things like people's health and jobs and businesses and medical supplies, and the list goes on and on. Finally, a couple days ago, when I had a horrible attitude, like maybe you've been having lately, I just felt like God whispered to me and say, you know, you can just decide to trust my love for you. You can just decide to follow me and abide in my love right now. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to perform. You don't have to have a perfect week before every time you get up to preach. I am enough for you. I, Jesus Christ, am enough for you. Abide in my love. Decide daily to follow Jesus. Decide daily to abide in his love. And you can bear fruit and you can be joyful, even though it was a struggle for me this very week. The A is attach. Attach yourself to Jesus. The B is bring. Bring your burdens to Jesus. The I is invest. Invest your time with Jesus. The D is decide to follow Jesus. And the E is enjoy your life with Jesus. Enjoy your life with Jesus. One of my favorite parts about this passage, and this is my favorite passage in all of Scripture, my life verse, John 15:5 is in this. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. You'll bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. But I also love how this passage ends in verse 11. Jesus reminds us, you know, there is a reason I'm telling you this. I'm not a cop. I'm not interested in you following rules. I'm not a referee. I'm a father figure for you. Our relationship is not based on what I want from you. It's what I want for you. And he makes that clear in what he says. Look how it says. He says in verse 11, I've told you this so that, what's the this? It's that word 10 times. Abide, 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 abide. I've told you to abide in me so that, here's why I've told it to you. So that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. He's going, I want you to have joy, my joy. I want your joy to be complete. I want you to have fullness of joy. And he says, there's lots of things in your life that you can't control. We know that right now. Lots of things that we can't control. He says, you can control this. You can choose to abide in me. And then what's going to happen is, if you do that, my joy, the joy of Jesus Christ, that's regardless of circumstance, regardless of the season that you're in, my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. You'll experience fullness of joy. Here's our big idea. You got to see it again. Abide in Jesus, and you will bear fruit and be joyful. Bear fruit and be joyful. See, coronavirus has created a new reality. And new realities require new recipes. And Jesus says, I'm giving you a recipe. I'm giving you a guideline for something good. I'm giving you a recipe where you will bear fruit and be joyful in your life. And here's the simple recipe. Abide in me, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me. And how do we do it? Here it is. Attach. Attach yourself to Jesus. Bring your burdens to Jesus. Invest. Invest your time with Jesus. Decide to follow Jesus and enjoy your life with Jesus. I'm going to pray for you now, and then we're going to put up the family discussion questions. So would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this recipe. We thank you for this invitation, this command from Jesus, and we thank you that it comes packed with a promise that we will bear fruit in all areas of our lives, and we will be filled with the joy of Jesus. We want this. We need this. So God, my prayer for every person, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, regardless of age, who's watching this right now, that you would give us the encouragement, that you would give us the reminder, that you would give us the discipline, that you would give us the opportunity, that you would give us the desire to abide in you, Jesus, knowing that you will then bear fruit and give us your joy in our lives. Whatever simple steps we need to take to make that happen, give us the courage to apply this message. It's in your precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.